This is the Preservation Technology Podcast, bringing innovation to preservation. The Preservation Technology Podcast is a production of the National Center for Preservation Technology and Training, a unit of the National Park Service.
Thank you for joining us today. My name is Jason Church. I'm the Chief of Technical Services at the National Center for Preservation Technology and Training. And today I'm here talking to author Ruth Laney, who has just released her book on Cherie Quarters. I loved the book, Ruth. I really enjoyed reading it. I'm a fan of Ernest Gaines, so I wanted to read it because of that. But you really have three books put together. It's an amazing amount of research, very impressive. But let's start. How did you get started with Ernest Gaines?
I write about it in the book. I had never heard of him, literally never heard his name. And I was working at LSU Press as a copy editor on the second floor of Hill Memorial Library, which is now not used as the press anymore. The press is on in another location now. But at that time, the press was located there. And Charles East was, I think, director at that time, or possibly assistant director. He brought a man upstairs where the copy editing department was. And I believe there were four of us in like four different offices. And he kind of rapped on the door jamb and I went to the door. The door was open. I could see there was Ernest Gaines standing there. He had a couple of books in his hands and he had a brown beret in his hands. And Charles introduced, this is Ernest Gaines. He's in town to help scout locations for making a movie of his novel, The Autobiography of Miss Jane Pittman. And he will be giving a reading this afternoon at Lockett Hall, which was very close to where we were. If anybody up here wants to take an hour off and go over and hear him read, you're more than welcome to do so. So I went, and Beverly Jarrett, whose office was across the hall from mine, walked over there. It was a classroom, and Warren Eister was the creative writing teacher. And so it was a group of his creative writing students and some professors who maybe wandered in and us. And we were all sitting in desks. And then he stood up in the front of the room and he read a short story called Just Like a Tree, which is the last story in his short story collection, Bloodline. And I remember Warren Eister saying to his creative writing students, we've been studying point of view. So I want you to pay special attention to point of view in this story because it's told from multiple points of view. So it starts out with they're driving in a wagon in the mud, in the cold, mule-drawn wagon. And it's the little boy in front with the dad holding the reins. The mother-in-law who's got her setting chair in the wagon because she insists on bringing her own chair. And they drive up to Aunt Fee's house. Aunt Fee is an elderly woman who is going to have to leave. It's not called Cherie Quarters in the story, but in my mind, that's where it's taking place. And civil rights activities are beginning to happen. And so it's felt that her life is in danger. They are going to send her up north. They might even mention Chicago, and she will be leaving. And so they're all gathering together to have kind of one last gathering to more or less say goodbye to Aunt Fee. And so we go from some funny things about one mule won't pull, he just kind of floats free and easy while the other mule does all the pulling. And the mother-in-law is complaining and moaning about everything. And so there's humor. And then you get to the real crux of the story, which is Aunt Fee, we're going to miss you. And I think the story's been out long enough for me to reveal that in the end, Aunt Fee finds her own way of not being moved. And then the title, Just Like a Tree, is taken from the spiritual, Just Like a Tree Standing Side the Water, I Shall Not Be Moved. And so, just like a tree. And there's that wonderful, wonderful section that I use as a kind of an introduction to my book. Aunt Chloe saying, when you take down a beautiful old oak tree that's been here all these years, you never get the taproot. You know, you jump down in there and you chop at it, but you never get the taproot. And what you're left with is the hole where the roots were, and then the big hole up in the air where all those lovely branches have been all those years. And to me, that said preservation. These houses are just as much part of the landscape as these old oak trees that have been here all these years. And that to me is like a cry to arms for preservation, not just the old oak trees, but the houses too. And I think today people are more inclined to look at those houses as valuable. We were a bit ahead of our time in wanting to save them, but that was an inspiration to me. But I didn't actually see Shree Quarters itself until 82. I got an assignment from Louisiana Life magazine to write an article about Ernest Gaines, and they assigned Philip Gould to take the photographs. So Philip and I think we drove over together from Baton Rouge, but I'm not sure. He may have driven alone from Lafayette, and I drove in from Baton Rouge, and I guess Ernie would have come from Lafayette because he was teaching there. So the three of us met, and we walked up. It was February. It was a cold, gray day, and people were still living there. Smoke coming out of the chimneys. People would come out on the porch and kind of wave. They called him EJ, because that's how he was known as he grew up there. And then we got all the way down to the end of the lane, and there was an old man working in his garden. And Ernest Gaines said, Reese. Reese looked over, and he's like, who is that? And Ernest Gaines said, it's EJ. And then he smiles. We walk up and we meet him and we talk to him, and he's got this big old vegetable garden. He's in his 80s. And then he had this little dog with him. He called it that little sweet-legged dog, missing one leg. So in my notes, I found later, Philip Gould had gotten down on his stomach in the gravel, and he was asking Ernest and Reese to walk toward him over and over again. He asked Reese to walk down his front steps over and over again. And I reminded Philip later, look and see if you can find these photos. I was picturing it being taken from the front, but when I realized it was taken from the side, I'm like, this is perfect. This is exactly what all these houses look like. Seeing it in that way was really special. And even though I was writing about Ernest Gaines and I was reading all of his work, I had never been to Shree Quarters until that time, 10 years later. Then in 1992, Rick Smith at LPB and I decided it's time to do a documentary about Ernest Gaines. Of course, we asked him and he agreed. So we spent 2.5 years working on this documentary. We were able to film some of it in Shree Quarters. There were still houses there when we made the documentary. And we even had a church service, which at the time, there were really only two ladies who would attend church, Shug and Carrie, who were the last two people. And then there was a man named Willie Aaron who still lived there. They would go to church like every 2 weeks. A preacher from Baton Rouge would drive up, hold a service. Sometimes it was just these two women all dressed in white with white hats. For the documentary, they invited some of their relatives to come And they did. So the church was more or less filled up as it once had been every Sunday. And so we were able to get one last church service filmed for the documentary. So that's when I realized how special a place it was. And, you know, by now I had read all of his work probably many times. And it's all about Cherie Quarters. Every setting, it's clearly based on Cherie Quarters. So it's his inspiration. It's this place that even though he left when he was 15 years old, mentally, that was still home. And that's what inspired him to write, I think, was to try to capture that place where he grew up. As I write about it in the chapter, you know, The Friends of Cherie Quarters, it sounded like the impossible dream, but Suge's house was still standing. In fact, she was still living in it, so it was in good enough shape to be lived in. And then it was right next to the church, and then right next to the church was a small shed that Ernest Gaines said his grandfather had built. So those three buildings right together still existed. Then all the way down to the other end was Reese's house. And my idea was, first of all, Reese's house even then was in terrible shape. It needed repair drastically. And we even did a little bit ourselves, like, let's buy a 2x6 and prop up the overhang on one side and that kind of thing. My idea was, could we create a building in between these? On the outside looks like these buildings, cypress grade, doesn't have to be painted and look new, but then inside it's more like an open space. We could show the documentary there. In my dream, Ernest Gaines cuts the ribbon. First, we gather in the graveyard to remember those who are no longer with us. Then he cuts the ribbon. We have like tea cakes and what he called plurines, kinds of things that people used to give him to pay him for writing a letter or reading a letter to them if they couldn't read. And then, you know, maybe a little gift shop where his books could be sold. And of course, I couldn't make it happen on my own. It would take more people, and it would take a certain vision to see a value there. We brought people there. Greg Osborne, who's with New Orleans Public Library, Chuck Seiler, and his wife Rhonda. We'd take different people there and say, what do you think? And these were African-American people. And they go, oh, this could be great. I mean, they'd get really excited about the possibilities. Sid and I together created the lecture, Cherie Quarters, The Place and the People. He would talk about the actual physical components. I would talk about the people, which, of course, starting with Ernest Gaines, the most famous person to come from there. We gave that lecture at least half a dozen times. We gave it at the State Archives, where I asked, would everybody who has a connection to Cherie Quarters please stand up? And half the audience stood up. So the message was understood by the people who heard the lecture. You know, I think people understood what we were trying to do. And like I titled the chapter, time is the enemy. All it takes is time. You don't have to do anything but just demolition by neglect. You literally don't have to raise a finger, and sooner or later, that building will be gone. So we did our best. We really did. We tried, but ultimately, we failed. So in a way, the book creates what we were unable to create as a physical presence. And also, I created a Cherie Quarters Facebook group. We've got 300 members now, many of whom have a Cherie Quarters connection. The internet has made it easier in some ways, especially for people who have moved away. They can at least keep up.
Well, thanks so much for talking to us today, Ruth. I highly recommend anyone interested in Southern history, vernacular architecture, African-American history, plantation system, the works of Ernest Gaines. I mean, any of that, this book will check those boxes, and I highly recommend anyone go out and read it.
This was a presentation of the Preservation Technology Podcast, produced by the National Center for Preservation Technology and Training. To find more podcasts like this one, please visit our website,